Hello, good evening. Welcome to today's Bible study. I hope the day has been extremely fruitful. I hope it's not too stressful. Thank God for the gift of life and thank God for this opportunity to learn again at His feet. So let's say a word of prayers as we start. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for another opportunity to learn at your feet. We ask, as we go into your word this evening, your presence will be with us. You'll open our hearts, open our minds, and we'll get the meat out of the word this evening. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Okay, so this week we're going to be looking at the title, The Perilous Time Will Come. The Perilous Time Will Come. Our text is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. I'll be reading in the Passion Translation, very lovely translation. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of the society will become extremely fierce. I love the way this puts it. So what KJV calls perilous time is saying the culture of the society will become extremely fierce. We'll go into those, some of those cultures in a bit. I mean, you can look at what's making people to become labeled homophobic in certain societies. Well, in Nigeria, you may say, it's still far away. But my brothers and sisters, it's not far away at all. In fact, there was one of the contestants in the last election whose spouse was an open supporter of homosexuals, of the gay bill. It's just a matter of time. I think Femi was the one saying it one of these days that by the time these lawmakers, these older lawmakers, leave the scene and the younger ones, the new generation, get there, mindset will also set in that they may actually legalize homosexuals, even in this part of the world. So think, my issue with those beliefs, and I think I've shared it here before, I don't mind what you choose to define marriage as. I don't care your own definition of marriage. Don't force it on me. That is my issue. You claim that marriage can be between a man and an inanimate object, a man and a man, a woman and a woman. Thank God for your life. We'll keep praying for you. We'll trust in God for your salvation. But my issue is that you now force me to accept that definition. So the culture of the society is already becoming fierce. In the final days, the culture of the society will become extremely fierce. People will become self-centered lovers of themselves. The Aramaic translation of that verse 2 says, men will look out only for themselves. You know this saying that every man, all man for himself, God for us all. Just everybody will keep looking out for themselves. Just me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. And obsessed with money. There was a time, even in Nigeria, you see a 14-year-old doing money ritual. 13 years. What? When we were 13, what did we know other than to pass common entrance and pass GS1 exam, GS2 exam? A 13-year-old is doing money ritual. People are so obsessed with money. I met a young man a couple of weeks ago, and the guy was telling me that there's nothing money cannot do, don't worry, anything. People just have this crazy obsession with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. it seems that those of us who are believing in some of these right things are now almost becoming the minority. They will mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. Aramaic of that ungrateful says they call them rejecters of grace. We saw one of the richest men in the world claim sometimes ago that he doesn't mind going to hell. Like he has accepted that he's going to hell. Men will be rejecters of grace. They will be rejecters of the grace of God. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Hateful and malicious slander. We're saying in church on Sunday that bad news sell. That's the society we live in. When you just say something that is bad, that is terrible, people will gladly accept it. People will gladly buy that than the good news. So slander, malicious slander, people are addicted to it. Slaves to their own desires. They will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of the world, of this world, more than the pleasures of the loving God. Verse 5, they may pretend to have a respect for God. And this is where we come into the church. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like this. I love that verse 5 and how this translation puts it. They may pretend to have respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from these people. And that is what Paul was telling Timothy, his protege. Let's read the introduction. And follow me for those of us who have the pamphlet with us. Apostle Paul went through a lot of opposition for Christ's sake. He was writing to his son in the Lord, Timothy, during his second imprisonment in Rome. And in the third chapter of his second epistle to his disciples, he warns, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." As he was writing this, he was in Rome after the great fire of 64 AD that left in its wake the destruction of 3/4 of the city, and that resulted in Nero persecuting, even brutally murdering Christians under the guise of blaming them for the event. Under inspiration, Paul still predicts worse situations ahead of the world. We are currently living in the last days, also known as the end time. One of the major things that characterize the time is the fact of being perilous. 2 Timothy 3:1. Let's just pause a bit there. Perilous times, as described in this translation, says the culture of the society will be extremely fierce. The things I saw a stage play sometimes ago, forgotten the title now, but was talking about some of the heroines in Nigeria. Fumilayo Ransankuti and the woman that started a salt fight or salt riot in Calabar or that region, and the third person, an Hausa lady. So it happened that this lady traveled back in time. A lady that saw those people as her heroine traveled back in time to meet those three heroines. And so she wore what is called crazy jeans, jeans that was torn. So immediately those women saw her, they quickly gave her a wrapper. Ah, wrap yourself. Ah, why? I said, no, this is how we dress, where I came from. Ah, they looked at her, they must be crazy where you came from. The things that we accept as norm now, if some of our parents, our forefathers wake up from their grave, they're like, these people have gone 100% mad. Praise the Lord. So, yes, those times the culture will be very fierce, and it's already happening. The Greek is chalepos, and that word is translated perilous in 2 Timothy 3:1. It means worrying, dangerous, severe, fierce, full of risk, hazardous, dreadful, and threatening. Perilous speaks of something terrible, risky, and dangerous. It is being very dangerous, that is, involving exposure to a very great danger or risk of being injured, destroyed, or lost. So, the end of time is characteristically a difficult and dangerous time. This is the time long spoken about that would come. It is most profitable to see these prophecies and be able to compare them with the shreds of evidence that we are already seeing. We are living in the fulfillment of perilous times. And in the writing of Paul in 2 Timothy 3:1-5 is very, very, very relevant to us. Let's quickly go to the discussion. We have about 30 minutes for that, or 35 minutes, and it's a long discussion. But let's do understanding perilous times. Verse 1. Note the certainty of the words, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. So it is certain. It's not that perilous time may come. It didn't say that the culture may become extremely fierce. It said the culture of the society will become. Perilous times will come. So it is certain that these things will happen. So when I look at all these things and just look at how terrible it is, well, the Bible has predicted it. The Bible has said that these things will happen. Paul says, mark this, be certain of this. Those are in TPT, the Passion Translation, it says, but you need to be aware of this. So it is certain. Nothing can stop the perilous times from coming. That shouldn't scare you as long as you run into the strong tower who owns times and seasons. So it shouldn't scare us. When we talk about the end times, we shouldn't be scared. It should just prepare us, and it should be a joyous thing that we know that at least in a little while we're going home. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy 3:1-8, Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy predicted that the end time will be a dangerous time. The picture Paul painted is that the end time is not going to be an easy time, but will rather be filled with dangers. In fact, it will be a period that will be harmful or too risky to practice Christianity. My brothers and sisters, I think there was a time it was being proposed in the UK that gay couples can walk into any church and demand to be married in the church, and if the pastor says no, he runs the risk of being jailed and being labeled homophobic. I'm telling you. So the world is becoming so tense and tough for Christianity. Let's read from verse 6, 2 Timothy 3:6-8. For they are the ones who worm their way into the heart of vulnerable women, spending the night with those who are captured by their lust and steeped in sin. They are always learning but never discover the revelation knowledge of the truth. History has given us an example of the Egyptian sorcerer, Jannes and Jambres, who stood against Moses in their ignorance, in their arrogance. So it will be in the last days with those who reject the faith with their corrupt mind and arrogant hearts, standing against the truth of God. I mean, since that, if 2,000 years ago, Paul was referring to Moses 3,000 years earlier than him. So which means these things, I mean, we are in good company. I don't know, I think it was one of my friends a couple of weeks ago that preached a sermon on this. We have a cloud of witness around us, so take advantage of those clouds of witnesses. Those people have gone through what we went through. So Moses has had a sheer experience of his own. So you're in good company. I mean, you have a cloud of witness about this. So you're in good company. Tell your neighbor you're in good company. Don't worry. So don't be discouraged. We have our fathers in faith that have gone through this and came out. Number four, compare with 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. Let's quickly read that. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. Timothy, in the presence of our great God and our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is destined to judge both the living and the dead by the revelation of his kingdom, I solemnly instruct you to proclaim the word of God and stand on it no matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach when it is convenient and when it is not. Preach in the full expression of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and patience as you instruct and teach the people. For the time is coming when they will no longer listen and respond to the healing words of truth, because they will become selfish and proud. They will seek out teachers with soothing words that line up with their desires, saying just what they want to hear. They will close their ears to the truth and believe nothing but fables and myths. So be alert to all these. Be alert to all these things and overcome every form of evil, carrying in your heart the passion of your calling as a church planter and evangelist, and fulfill your ministry calling. Praise the Lord. So comparing 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5 with 4, 1 to 5, Paul was not encouraging Timothy. Don't worry. There's going to be a time that these people are like this. Don't worry about it. Just keep on going. So 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5 is a proof of the danger of the time. The perilousness of the time is not talking about the persecution of believers per se. Rather, it addresses the danger or risk the believers are exposed to in terms of abuse of Christian liberty and the effect of lies, deceit, and falsehood on the Christian experience. But we are encouraged to keep preaching no matter what. And these are some of the verses that encourage people like us. Keep preaching no matter what. Keep saying the truth. No matter what, even the remnant, even in the days of Israel's captivity, there were a remnant of people that were still left and were still holding on to the truth. So we are still there. We still keep preaching the word. Okay. Another dangerous trend in the perilous times is the rate of the nefarious activities of Satan, the Antichrist, and false prophets. Okay, we're to read 1 John 2, 3, and 6. And then we answer the question, who is the Antichrist? 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 6. Everyone who does not acknowledge that Jesus is from God has the spirit of Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? You already know that answers the question. Which you have heard was coming and is already active in the world. Verse 6. But we belong to God, and whoever truly knows God listens to us. Those who refuse to listen to us do not belong to God. This is how we know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. So who is the Antichrist? Anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus is from God. Anybody that doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus. And there are already plenty in this world. We've said, I've said it several times. I've preached it. I've put up teachings on that. The Antichrist is already active in this world. We already know that. Understanding the people in the perilous times. Verses 2 to 5. That's the second part of our discussion. So the first part of our discussion talks about the perilous times itself. Now, the second part is understanding the people in the perilous times. So, Paul predicts the following to describe the people in the perilous times. Number one, lovers of themselves. Modern psychology focuses on self-love. What does the Bible say about self-love? It results in self-delusion, self-deceit. And what is the antidote? Romans 12:3. We actually preached on this on Sunday in church. Romans 12, actually we read verse 2. So let's just go to verse 3. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. So the antidote is to evaluate yourself with God's standard. Self-love is an issue in this society, in this day and time. People are lovers of themselves. Number two, lovers of money. Hey, lovers of money. In fact, we can see people will do all sorts of things to get money. People will tell you, there's a saying in Yoruba that Olowo Lagba. Olowo Lagba means the one with the money is the elder, is the older one, or will be regarded as the elder one. We've said it in churches. We've preached some of these erroneous sermons that even if it's the last born of the family that has money, they will wait for the family meeting. The whole family meeting will wait till he comes. And I'm like, where is honor? Where is success? The fact that your elder brother retired as a principal of a school and affected thousands of children all through his career doesn't make him any less significant or relevant than you that the Lord has blessed with some money. This is why people are dying young. The person that you're supposed to be calling uncle because you have more money than him, you start calling him them by name. The people that are, see, I will not teach that theology. It is wrong. It is very wrong. The person that is your elder in the family is your elder. It's not because you have more money now. You are now the Olori Ebi, the head of the family. It is a wrong doctrine. It's a wrong dogma. Please, let's get all these erroneous teachings out of the way. It is wrong. It is not godly. It is not godly. I can tell you that, I can bet that with you, that it is not godly. Shouldn't be doing things like that and be saying, you better pray. And people raise prayer points on this, that God should make you the elder one in your family. So the ones that you met that came to the world before you, God should kill all of them, or God should make their businesses to crash just because you want to. You know all this selfish prayer, make me the something 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 in my family, make me the only one that without me in my family they cannot make a decision. Lovers of money. That is just the love of money. The love of money is nothing. They are just lovers of money. Number three, boasters. People who are fond of referring immodestly to possessions or achievements. Boasting leads to self-promotion. We are only to boast of the Lord. Now, there was a time in the church generally that people tend to think that the evidence of God's blessing is material possession. I'm a blessed man. I have this so-and-so number of vehicles. I have this so-and-so number of cars. I have this so-and-so number of property. That is not blessing. Like I just gave an example of a teacher, of a school teacher, who was called to be a teacher and affected the lives of our kids and is not able to amass properties and cars all their life. Are they not blessed? Let's stop teaching all these things that will now start making all these young people run. And me, when I hear these testimonies, I get agitated. Don't tell me that the person who didn't have that storyline is not blessed by God. A farmer, a trader, a market woman who just does a thing in a shop and just able to feed her family, she's not stealing. A businessman who is not stealing, who is not adding 2 + 2 = 22, who is just doing his own business gently and modestly. You cannot tell me that person is not blessed because he didn't have properties and cars. So boasters is still part of the end time issues. They are boasters. Number four, proud. It is characteristic of the flesh to have an exaggerated opinion of personal worth or abilities. The Bible says God resists the proud. You know, if it is still human beings are resisting you, you have somewhere to run to. God resists the proud. God distances himself from the proud. It's a dangerous thing to be proud. Proud. Then blasphemers. Blasphemers hate authority and ultimately become haters of God. Blasphemy, when we're reading the treating the book of Revelation, we saw that in the Old Testament, how did God command them to punish blasphemy? By stoning. So in the book of Revelation, after rapture, when we have left this world, and the people that are left behind are going to blaspheme against the name of the Lord, they will say all sorts of rubbish about the Lord. The Bible says that God is going to stone them. But the weight of his stone is 50 kg, a bag of rice or a bag of cement. That is how God is going to stone them. People are already blaspheming against God. People are already saying all sorts of things against the name of the Lord. Seven, unthankful. You see people that tell you, do something for them, like, what has he done that anybody has not done before? Unthankful. People hate recognizing anyone but themselves, thinking they are all by themselves. And so, don't respect God or man. They see others in their life as lesser in stature and unworthy of respect. 8. Unholy. Another word for being wicked. Those against God's instruction in Matthew 5:48. They can't see God. So anyone who is wicked, who is unholy, what is holiness? Holiness is being sanctified or being set apart. So they no longer set themselves apart for God to be used. And number 9, unloving, unforgiving. I've heard this among even some Christians that we fight so thick that even when we get to heaven, we will not settle it. That it is God in heaven who will carry this matter to the front of God when we get to heaven. Who told you that you go to heaven with the unforgiveness? People are unforgiving, unloving. And even the issue we have in politics and leadership in Nigeria, for instance, is because of men that don't love. It's because we have leaders that don't love their countrymen, their fellow countrymen. That is why we have this greed, this corruption, massive corruption all over the place. Hallelujah. Number 10, slanderers. Slanderers, having no concern for the truth, without self-control, being unnecessarily loose, brutal, showing no limit of wrath, despisers of good, they love to cause trouble. Let's look at this brutal, showing no limit of wrath. I couldn't watch some of these videos, but the few ones I could watch about the video of Sudan, the terrible thing that is going on. How will you keep hitting your fellow human being on the head? Why? Because someone said this, that war is when two young men or young people who don't know each other and who don't hate each other kill each other because of two old people or two leaders who know each other, hate each other, but don't kill each other. The two old people at the top, they gave young men the authority or the commission, go and start killing yourselves. In fact, I read some, I'm not sure how true it is. One faction of the Sudan war is being sponsored by Russia, China, and a number of countries. The other faction is being sponsored by US, UK, and the West, and a number of other countries. Is that not stupidity? These people are coming. You take, kill the other one. Those ones who came, you take, kill yourself. The people that are giving you weapons, their country is at peace. They are there. They are at peace with themselves. People are just brutal. Even if they tell you to kill someone, if you see how brutal, I couldn't watch some of those videos. And it happened, a number of reports in Nigeria, outside Nigeria, of how will someone just get a gun, go to a primary school, a nursery school, and start shooting. Brutal. Showing no limit of wrath. People are just angry. It's a sign of the end time. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. I love the way the Passion Translation put it. He said they may pretend to know God, but they deny his power. Now, people don't want to really talk about the power of God. They don't want to experience the power of God. They just want to come and do church, play politics with church. It's a sign of the end time. The undependable, unteachable, pleasure-seeking hedonists, hypocrites, lacking real relationship with Christ. These are some of the people that the Bible says are going to be around in the last days. In conclusion, please, if you have questions, just type it in the comment box. I will treat those questions in the comment box. In conclusion, everything Paul listed is already manifesting. In Noah's days, God warned him of the impending danger. He cooperated with God in obedience and saved himself and his family, while the pleasure seekers wasted away. We too will escape the perils of this end time by holding fast to the word of life, which is able to see us through. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, testing every spirit whether they are of Christ or not. We need to test every spirit. I've said this to our church members. Know the kind of altar you put your head. It's not every altar that you should put your head. It's not every altar that you should just go and, it's not everybody you should kneel down and let them lay hands on you. Test every spirit to know which It's true. And the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. That brings us to the end of the Bible study. Let's just say some of these prayer points, about three of them. Number one, raise your voice and say, Lord Jesus, by your anointing, expose every spirit trying to lure me into ungodliness in these end times. I begin to pray. Father, Lord, expose every spirit trying to lure us into this ungodliness. Even they may be so subtle, we may think that, oh, it's just the norm. Every spirit trying to lure us into ungodliness, expose them in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, expose every spirit that is trying to lure us into ungodliness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall they say, I refuse to be endangered at this terrible and difficult time. I refuse to be endangered at this terrible and difficult time. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to be endangered at this time. I refuse to be endangered at this end time, at this perilous time. I refuse to be endangered in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Lord, deliver your church from the spirit of hypocrisy and apostasy in this end time. Lord, we pray for the church of God. Deliver your church from the spirit of hypocrisy. Deliver your church from the spirit of apostasy. Apostasy will not have its cause, its root in our midst again, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray for everyone that is under the unction of my voice today. I pray that the spirit of the Lord will be upon you in the name of Jesus. You will not fall victim of these end time troubles in the name of Jesus. You will not be lured into this end time wahala in the name of Jesus. You will stand firm for the Lord in the name of Jesus. The Lord will give you the discerning spirit, discernment of spirit that will test every spirit and hold on to the one that is right in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Next week Tuesday, by the grace of God, we'll be here again for another exciting and expository time of study with the Lord. God bless you in Jesus' name. CAC Graceville, Abuja Church, and we have a digital church. Join us every Sunday if you're in Abuja, in the city of Abuja. The details will be on the screen or in the comment box. God bless you in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.